Hello and welcome to Bookness, a podcast produced by Centre for the Study of the Book here at the Bodleian Libraries. My name's Alice and this is Jo.
Hi.
And today we are joined by multimedia artist Yota Dimitriou. Hello, Yota.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on this amazing podcast.
We're in Oxford at the moment. Whereabouts are you?
I'm sitting in my living room in Liverpool.
So to begin, we'd like to ask you, Yota, if you could physically describe the work we're going to be discussing in today's podcast, which is Your Work to You. Our copy is currently in Sensational Books exhibition here at the Western Library in Oxford. And Jo and I actually have a handling copy here with us today, which is borrowed from the Space for Reading area in the Western Library, where readers and visitors can actually interact with this copy themselves. So Yota, for the listeners of the podcast, can you please describe what we have in front of us?
Of course. So what you have in front of you is a small box with a little ribbon at the side, almost like a gift box. And it's got an engraved title on it on the top in silver color rather than actual silver that says to you, and you can untie the ribbon and open it up, and you've got an A5 size concertina book, which is when you open it up, it's coated in black ink, and that's thermochromic ink. And so you won't be able to see the actual content until you start interacting with the book.
Bodleian's Librarian Glossary Check.
Thank you, Richard. We just wanted to do a quick glossary check. Thermochromic or thermochromatic inks are temperature-sensitive compounds that temporarily change colour with exposure to heat. Back to Bookness.
How should I interact with it? How are you expecting people to interact with it?
Well, it's a book as much as it is an art object, right? So as a book, read it, interact with it, touch its pages, infuse its pages with your warmth, as you would do a book anyway, but obviously this is a bit different. So from the art experience, I guess it's more about the audience's way of how they want to interact with it. It's pretty fluid and open. But the general idea is that you imbue your own warmth from your hands. And sometimes if your hands need a bit of warming up, then that heat needs to be transferred to the book's pages. Because as I said, it's coated in thermochromic ink, and you'll only be able to see the very vulnerable content on the pages when you actually touch the book. I do encourage people, saying all that, I do encourage people to read it collaboratively together, because it's a book about love, its content, it's about loss. And so in the way where the content informs the actual shape of the book, the form, what it looks like, that's kind of vice versa in that sense. So when you're reading it with someone, because it's so vulnerable, the content, it's emotional, I encourage the people to read it together and to help each other read it, where they hold the pages together.
Which is exactly what Alice and I are doing now, sitting next to each other, and we've got the pages of the books pressed between our hands, and actually you've done it a bit better than I have. In the parts where we've had our hands together with the book in between them, the pages have warmed up, and the black pages have turned to white.
And it reveals the text, which then very beautifully disappears. So you kind of have that moment. And then if you miss it, then you have to rewarm it, I guess.
But as with heat transfer, if you transfer a lot of heat very, very quickly into something, heat will leave very quickly too. So if you're reading it together and you're sharing your love with the book in that sense, if we hold on to that metaphor, then the pages will stay the word isn't translucent, but the paint will stay translucent for a longer period of time.
I wonder, could we look a bit closer at the ink now? And could you say a bit about the science behind it and how you came to use it in this work?
Yeah, sure. As you said in the beginning, I'm a multimedia artist, and what that means, as you know from working with other multimedia artists, like others, I always experiment with different materials. And my main, I guess, mode of artwork is more of a performative one. So I've always been interested in how stories are depicted, how you create stories, how you curate stories, and then obviously with that curation, the experience of those stories. So I first wrote the content, and the content, as you might have read, was basically just letters, love letters, and they aren't addressed to anyone. And my research at that time when I was writing those letters was around letter writing and the art form of letter writing. I also have a performance called Love Letters that was going on for like 8 years, where from that I collected about more than 150 audience love letters to their loved ones. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that the influence from this is also from all of that. And the process in thinking about what technologies to use came afterwards. So when I had the content, and you'll see that some of the pages in the book, without wanting to spoil anything for future readers or people that come to the exhibition, is that some of the text sometimes is missing, sometimes some words are bigger than others. So that actual styling within the copy of the book is integral to the interaction of its form, right? So first came that, and then having all that in mind, how can I perform this, or how can it perform rather? And I came across thermochromic ink from other projects I had done in the past, in terms of thinking about what stories get told on stage, the hierarchy of those, whose voices get told, whose voices get chosen, how does that curatorial process happen, and what's the intent from that? But I had always known about thermochromic ink also because of the very commercial, I don't know if you have ever bought your parents, I don't know, for Mother's Day, I bought my mum one of those mugs where you can print an image on a mug, but you can only see the image when the mug is warmed up. And then there's, the ink that's used on batteries, for instance, that's also thermochromic, or in different thermostats. So the ink in itself isn't an innovation, it's out there. And so I bought some of that, and I started playing with it. I played with it with spraying on, my different work. But then, obviously, there were problems if I wanted this book to be readable. So how would I make it work? Because the temperature of this one is commercial, so it's I guess between 25 and 30 degrees Celsius. So it would work, hopefully, when someone's touching it, unless you're me with very, very cold hands and I have to rub them together a bit. I started experimenting with the ink, but because I'm interested in electronic arts, I thought, okay, maybe there could be something combined here with if I create a heat pad, an electronic heat pad, and put some technology in it where if someone is touching the book, then it's almost like a bit of more assistance to the heat. So if I make a heat pad and then the reader touches the book, and automatically, because there's a sensor in it, a proximity sensor or something, a tactile sensor, then the book understands that it's been touched. And so it will just slowly put some more heat in it to help the reader, And I designed a prototype of that. And that was the first one that I made to go and show other people. But then I thought, you know, that takes away, that's great, but it also takes away from the content of the book and what the book as a form and an artwork is trying to say. Not that electronics are bad. I love using technology. But I just thought for this, the minimality of it just being as it is, black pages, and just having someone to come and touch it in order to read it is more meaningful than having some support. The support can come from you two reading it together.
That's really lovely, because you describe the act of reading this as a really intimate reading experience. Can you talk a bit more about that and what that means to you?
Yeah, so it comes from the actual content, where it's about love, loss, it's about grieving. And, you know, from speaking to people, they've asked me, is it about a relationship? Is it about, you know, is it about a breakup? Is it about a death? What is it about? It's about all those different things. So I guess that's one of it. And there is a type of intimacy that goes in when you're writing any kind of love letter, right? The act of writing a love letter in itself can be for some people an art form, but it's also a type of healing, right? There's a certain type of focus and performativity, a ritual that goes into writing one. I guess any type of letter, even if I'm writing a postcard, and you want the way you're articulating the words to be, you know, there's a type of, you know, setup that goes into it, I guess. And so intimacy comes also out of that. Because if it's a love letter and you're sending it to someone, then the receiver getting it, acquiring it, is going to have their own setup to receive it and the space and the mind frame. So the intimacy comes out of that too. But if we put the content with the book form together, how the content is styled, how it's, you know, all put together and parceled in this little box with ribbons, and taking it out and opening it out and laying out the concertina, it's all in itself an intimate ritual. And so I wanted the book as it is experienced to almost take on a human manifestation in a way. It's like an objection of love that you need, because the content is so from the heart, right? It's so, and I describe it in the book, I use a word called aboimnomena, which is a Greek word for something that's almost, it goes beyond being naked and raw. I'm covering it, I'm dressing it, and it's up to the reader to undress it. So there's all those poetic acts of intimacy that go into the performance of this book.
Yeah, that's something I was thinking about actually when we were preparing for this. There's quite a limited number of copies of this book that you created. And even when you're reading it, when you have a copy in front of you, you can't see the whole text at the same time. The pages are slightly larger than your hand. So you need to reveal different parts of the text, even on one page, at different times. And yet we have copies of this book on display for people to come into the Western Library at the moment to read. Possibly that's more people than you were expecting to have access to the text. How do you feel about that?
I feel so privileged to be part of your exhibition. I come from a very small place in Cyprus. I'm a British Cypriot, and I come from a family whose, you know, the granddaughters are the first generation of people, also women, to have been able to gain access to education. And if you think of the class perspective that that goes in, you know, art and sometimes for you know, art in terms of education isn't the first thing that, you know, a parent for a first generation is gonna you know, is gonna not be happy, but like, you know, that that isn't something that you're supposed to do, because education is a kind of investment in that, you know, not that aren't isn't. And that's, you know, those are the types of thinking that we need to be shifting.
Do you see this as a work of art that looks like a book, or do you see it as a book?
Okay, well, I mean, that's a bigger, more philosophical question. I'm not going to put my academic head on now, because we'll be here for hours. I think for this book, I can't answer to other book, right? So obviously I can't define that for anyone else's book, but for my book, I think it's both. And the reason for that is because I've always been interested in interactivity and engagement, not just for the sake of something being interactive or engaging, but meaningfully engaging. So the question again, how does it influence your reading of it? How does it influence your experience of it? Where does the experience start? Where does it end? Where does it heighten? So all these different, you know, different influences that we can gather and understand, you know, how someone perceives something and receives it. I've always been interested in interactive books since I was little. I'm neurodiverse myself, so it's easier for me. And it was easier for me as a child also, if I think back, to engage with books that had much of a more, I wouldn't say, well, multimedia, but not multimedia in the digital element, more of a multimedia, like using different senses, because they would capture my entire focus. And I wouldn't be, you know, like I wouldn't be reading a phrase and then I forget it and have to read it again, because they're in capturing everything. Obviously that's not, it's not my expertise in terms of sciences to think about kind of neuro diverse and thinking about what's appropriate, but I know I can speak from my own experience. And so when I do design something, having I guess that experience, that personal experience in mind, but also coming from a theater and a performance background and having my research interests embedded within thinking about different forms of encountering stories and engaging with them. So that all combined is what kind of influences my thinking around this is both an artwork and a book.
And so this kind of leads me onto something I wanted to ask you particularly. Have you thought about the physical human interactions that have to happen with this book? The inevitable changes and marks. The copy we have here, this is one that's out in the Western Library for people to look at every day. And there are signs of kind of use now. How do you feel about that? Is that something you thought of?
Definitely. If we take it to another kind of metaphoric place, I wanted to also kind of intervene within the boundaries of what is an artwork, right? And what is the book form? And what are all these different things? So, you know, it is of usage. You can interact with it. It's an artwork that is supposed to be touched, and it's supposed to wear and tear. And the reason for that is because is as you start to expose and touch and get to know the actual book itself and the book's feelings as you're reading the content, it you know, it becomes more familiar with you. So it's almost like on one hand, yes, there's the restrictions of the technologies that are used, but on the other hand, they are also, the restrictions are also facilitating the ideas of that artwork, the conceptual ideas of it. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it really, really does. And something that kind of just interests me as a conservator is that we have
this copy now, which does look quite different from the one behind glass, which obviously is also part of the collection and readers will be able to look at it in the future. But right now, it's had so much less handling than this one, and they are both within the library at the moment, but both have had quite different journeys already.
It's really like a kind of a physical manifestation of all of the things that we were hoping that the Sensational Books exhibition would be, it coming as we're coming out of lockdown. And so it's just been a kind of a celebration of being able to sense things and interact with things that we haven't had the opportunity for so long while the country was in lockdown. So yeah,
this is quite different from a more traditional exhibition where all of our objects are behind glass. Here they can see this as well,
and they can see it in groups as well. Yeah. We're just kind of chatting about library talk now, but once the book's off exhibition, it will go into the permanent collection, and people will order it up into the reading room if they want to see it, which anybody can do. But that's a very solitary experience. You order it up as an individual, you go and sit at a desk, and you're not really supposed to consult things in pairs.
Yeah.
So it will be just one person, and not with a hot drink to be able to warm their hands on, because there's no drinks at all in the reading room. So it will just be, and if you're somebody like you with quite cold hands, then you're stuck, really, aren't you?
So I think this exhibition has really allowed this piece in particular to be explored in I think the ways that it sounds like you really want it to be able to be explored.
Thank you. No, that sounds wonderful. And I'd love to take part in the kind of solitary experience too.
So what are you working on now, and what's coming up for
you? So at the moment I am working on a creative nonfiction book I'm writing. It's taking me ages to write because, again, the content is very personal. I never learn. And it's about the stories of two of my grandmothers that are not interlinked in the text. But it's about their stories and thinking about identity, women's histories, and how they navigate diaspora, you know, being refugees, fleeing. And I haven't thought of the form yet. I think I need to focus and finish the content. Yeah, that's that.
Oh, looking forward to it.
Thank you.
So nothing remains apart from me to say thank you very much to Yota Demetriou, artist and creator of To You, currently on show in the Sensational Books exhibition at the Bodleian Library. Thank you very much, Yota.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for listening to this episode of Bookness. You can find photos of Yota's work and links to some of the things we talked about over on the Centre for the Study of the Books blog, The Conveyor, and you can find the link to that in the podcast description.
Join us next time when we'll be talking to poet and book artist Stephen Emerson about his work, Translation. See you then.